Okay, we will call the regular meeting of the Finance Committee July 5th to order. Item two, consider a finding that is a result of the COVID-19 emergency. Meeting in person would prevent imminent risk to health or safety of attendees, and the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference pursuant to Government Code 54953. Marty, do you concur?
I do.
Thanks. Okay. We can go to comments from the public, if there are any, or you can comment as we move along. Anything there, Amelia?
No comments.
Okay. Finance monthly updates. Paula?
Yes, thank you, John. So good morning, everyone, and happy 22-23 fiscal year. Just some quick updates. Primarily, the main one to talk about is the current finance reporting. We had talked a little bit about Ide Bailey in early June, reviewing our financials, and they've been on site a couple of times since the initial or the first time in early June, and have really spent a lot of time evaluating our processes, looking at our general ledger, and have given us a good idea of what needs to happen so that we can get our 2021 audit prep work completed. So right now they are working specifically with our retired annuitant Susan to go through the 2021 financials and get those cleaned up so that we can have those presented to our auditors, Richardson CPAs, and have that wrapped up fairly soon. We are expected to have that wrapped up within the next 6 weeks. So we're looking forward to having that draft audit done. And then we're also going to be doing general ledger cleanup of fiscal year 21-22 in the same manner. And they have identified a staff member that will be assisting us with this. We're looking at what they're going to have on site with us. We're going to have a conversation this afternoon, so we'll have a little bit more information after that conversation with the partners at Ide Bailey to know how many days a week we'll have someone on site, what their role is, and how they can help us wrap up the 21 audit and the 22 preparation for the 22 audit as well. We're also working on process improvements for our existing procedures, hopefully to streamline a lot of things that we've been trying to streamline for quite some time, and hopefully getting us in a position to where we can start working on getting the Tyler implementation at a good place. And so that leads me to the next piece of the ERP. Because of the type of cleanup that we need to do with our general ledger, we want to make sure that we have a good chart of accounts to move forward with. And so working with Ide Bailey, we want to have an appropriate project start date for that. And that will give us enough time to catch up all of our financial backlogs, get us in a position to have clean data to put into the new system. And so there may be a potential of delaying that project. So once I'll know more once we have that conversation this afternoon, and then I'll report back at the board meeting. Also, for recruitment, we're putting future recruitments for accounting manager and accountant on hold due to the outsourcing of the accounting workload. The AP position is still open. We do expect to recruit for this position potentially within the next upcoming weeks. Again, this is also contingent upon the conversation with Ide Bailey team and getting a better understanding of what that project looks like over the next couple of months. Regarding utility billing, we're working with residents again to do water shutoff notifications. Our aging increased based on last month. So we have 139 residents with a 60-day past due balance and 57 residents with 90 days past due. We're going to start contacting residents again and work with them to get payment plan arrangements or payments in full. And if either of those options are not working, then we'll be working with the utility crew to arrange a schedule for our upcoming water shutoffs. And so for that is my finance updates. If anyone has any questions.
Marty, anything?
No.
The only thing, Paula, in the next few weeks or next week, could you perhaps outline based on the positions we're filling with the accounting firm versus what we have open and unfilled? Could we get an idea of what the overall cost is? I mean, there's some savings we're realizing from not using our own people initially to get this fixed. And I'm just curious as to see, you know, what the numbers look like between running it ourselves completely and supplementing it with the accountant.
So I can probably share a little bit of that information with you right now.
Okay.
The accounting manager and the accountant positions, those positions potentially would be a savings of about $220,000 annually if they were at top step with full family medical benefits. I'm not sure at this point. Right now we have $167,000 allocated specifically towards the iBailey contract. However, there may be potential for increased costs based on moving forward with the Tyler project management, and there may be the need to adjust their contract and add additional funding to include different scopes of work that had not been originally included. We are still having those conversations with them because of the level of issues we have with our general ledger. There is that possibility. So as of right now, we will see some savings if those items don't change. But yes, I can get you that information more specifically once we have that conversation with them a little more in depth.
Okay, great. And if we could, as we go forward, just keep a handle on what that number is. But yeah, that's fine. Good. I appreciate that. Want to move? Are we? Let's see, 2022-23 budget.
So I guess that's me. So this is just really a quick discussion. We'll be bringing the actual fiscal year 2022-23 budget and CIP in August. Because the Prop 218 protest was successful, we are going to be doing a carryover budget. And the only thing that's going to be changing are drainage security because they are taxes. So we've already, through the board process, have approved the ordinance changes for security and drainage, and those will be moving forward July 1. Those new rates took effect last Friday. But all of the remainder of the water sewer rates will be what they were for fiscal year 21-22. So really, we're just fine tuning those numbers for the expenditure side of the house, and then we'll have that presented at the August board meeting for board approval.
Okay. And at that meeting, then we'll be able to clearly show what we're doing with the property tax allocation?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, great. Marty, anything?
Yeah, what's our philosophy in developing the expense side of the budget? Are we just going to try and make the expenses equal to the revenue?
Well, they should in theory, regardless. You know, you don't want to, you're not supposed to collect more than what you expend. So ultimately, with this, on the expenditure side, we're going to have to use the property taxes to supplement what we're not going to be collecting. Even with the anticipation of potentially 50 new homes being built this fiscal year, we can't guarantee that those 50 homes will be built and we'll see those revenues, but it is included in that revenue projection. However, the rates did not increase. So that does not mean that our expenses won't increase. And so that's where the property tax comes in. And we'll be using that to offset the deficits on the water, sewer, drainage, and solid waste side.
I guess my question is, we're not planning to use the cash in the bank to make it.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be my comment there as well. You know, I completely agree with Marty that I'm not interested in any way of digging into our operating capital or unrestricted reserves or cash balance, however we want to call it in the public world. So that was kind of my reference to the property tax allocation, which really at this point appears to be the only, you know, unrestricted source of revenue we can apply against the problem. So, and I did notice too, listening to the improvements committee meeting, that somebody should take a quick glance maybe at where we are as it relates to drainage. If it turns out that the whole 11 stuff that we're working on starts to become a CSD problem versus a club problem, I don't think we understand that yet. But if it gets there, you know, I'd like to understand where we're going to be on drainage as a result of that, that significant expense. I'm just curious if the tax and what we have in that drainage budget now for reserves is going to cover all this stuff.
Right. And we are working on that. Again, that's also part of what the iBailey team and Susan are working on. So I would say we would probably have a better idea of what that actual dollar amount is in the next few weeks.
Okay. Any, Amelia, any questions? Anything?
No hands up, no questions.
The other thing, Tom, maybe this is for you. When we talk about in August, when we talk about 50 houses, can we revisit that and see if we're really going to build 50 houses? I'm not so sure. And I don't know what the cutover point is on those. I'm assuming it's when we drop in a meter, but I'm not seeing, you know, a comfort level that they're actually going to deliver that many houses over the next fiscal year.
Well, we've recently sold 10 water meters to the retreats at upper part between one and nine on the north. And so we're 1/5 of the way there already, but yeah, absolutely. John Sullivan was in a meeting last week and I asked him and he felt like that was a good number. So, but again, it's total wait and see. What happens to interest rates is going to have a lot to do with what's going on around here.
Right. That was my concern. I just didn't want to plug in some aggressive number that, you know, 8 months down the road starts to trap us for cash.
Okay. Michael has a good handle on that stuff. So between Michael and I think we can do a pretty good job of.
Okay.
But, you know, something weird happens and interest rates go up 2 more points. I think most everything comes to a halt.
Right. Right.
It's already pretty high from what it was 2-3 months ago.
Okay. Just so we've, you know, by August, we've settled in on a number.
Okay.
My only concern. Okay.
Good idea.
Are we ready to move to 6? Amelia, anything going on?
No comments, no hands raised.
Okay. Item 6, security special parcel tax initiative. Is this you, Tom?
Yeah, this is me. And I just want to say this has been a very long, drawn out process. And I think we've done as good a job as we can about identifying as much as we can to go forward with putting something on the ballot in November. We had what I thought was a very good meeting last Thursday night with invited community leaders to come to the district office and kind of go over a PowerPoint on the special tax initiative, which we're going to build on for a special board meeting we're scheduling for next Monday, July 11th. The community spoke out, was well represented, and I believe with the exception of 2 or 3 groups, we had representatives from every mover and shaker and influencer here at Rancho Marietta. And I think when all was said and done, that there was a show of hands on the type of tax proposed for this tax initiative. And we kind of got it down to what would it take, what type of increase in fees or increased tax there would need to fully fund a fully staffed security department, security operation. And that includes sergeant, number of patrol officers to make sure we catch all the shifts, at least one person on shift 24/7, 365. And that tax level, we named it maintain. And then there was a second tax level that was increase. And I'm looking for the PowerPoint so I can tell you what those numbers are. But one of them, the maintain tax, would increase everybody's monthly security bill through a special partial tax. I believe it was $26. And then the increase, it would go up. Was it $31? Paula, do you remember?
I believe it was like 32. Yeah.
I'm just going to open up, find the email, but it was a pretty good meeting. There's a lot of interaction with people who you would not normally see, a lot of new faces, and a lot of people, a lot of information was shared that by the district and in listening to what people said, that people hadn't heard before. It was kind of interesting to see how many folks, just weren't as aware of what was going on with the district and what kind of problems that we have and how people are, you know, the concerns from the little card survey that we did as part of this process, and it was somewhat of a controversial mailer, but the result was that people still have the same priorities and security that they had back in January when True North was doing the polling. Regardless of everything else that's going on, when you get down to the core group of Rancho Marietta, which are not the ones who come to all the meetings and get do all the interactions, they're the ones who come to work, go home, live Rancho Marietta life. The results are pretty astounding that, yeah, the 26 per month would be the maintain and 33 per month was increased. And so we're putting a staff report together that goes over this, and we're hoping to have it published by Thursday because we're closed on Friday. And this is what's next. I mean, we're not asking the finance committee to go over all this because they've gone through it many times and just given us direction to move to the special board meeting. And I want to thank Director Butler and Director Pohl for attending this meeting as not necessarily committee members, but they've been involved in this process. And they were allowed to attend because they're not on the same committee. And so it wasn't a regular meeting of any type. And again, we invited the people we felt were necessary to have this discussion. So I can answer questions, but mostly we're going to focus on putting a staff report together with giving the board the option of putting a maintain or an increase proposal forward as a special tax to be voted on November 8th this year. And what else was I going to say? So that's pretty much where we're at. And I just want to thank everybody involved for all the work they've done to this point. And then, of course, we have work in front of us. If the board selects on the 11th to take increase or maintain forward to the regular board meeting on July 13th, that is what will happen. And then the regular board meeting officially gives us permission to work with the registrar of voters with the county to place the initiative on the ballot. And that's around July 1st or 2nd, August 1st or 2nd. And then begins the hard work of putting together as much of an education and outreach campaign from district staff to explain what the initiative would mean. And eventually I believe we create pros and cons or for and against. And again, district and district employees and district officials like board members, we have to maintain neutrality in our work here at the district as employees. But I believe that the board members, when they're in public meetings, also have to maintain a neutral stance. I'm not exactly sure if individual board members can be for or against the initiative during the period from when we put it on the ballot to when actually there's an election. And also that's the opportunity for those in the community to place their preference on for or against the new parcel tax and see what happens. And then it's up to Rancho Marietans to determine their, you know, their future with security this time around. If it passes, you know, then the budget will be healthy, and hopefully it'll be able to stay healthy, because we're going to recommend a CPI adjuster every year instead of a 2.2% adjustment every year to try and keep up with increasing costs. Probably a CPI with a cap that's being discussed. And then, and if it doesn't pass, then it comes back to the district with determining what are our next steps, because it's for the level of demand for security, particularly running the gates all the time and patrol all the time, is far outdistancing the amount of revenue that's available without dipping into district general, you know, general funds that the board has made it clear they want to go to reserve. So I'll take any questions and I'll stop talking at this point, just kind of informational.
Any hands, Amelia?
No, there are no hands raised.
I have one, I guess it's a comment, not a question. What concerns me going forward is, you know, I understand that if the community votes for, say, a $32 increase to fully fund security, and we implement that, which we, you know, absolutely would do, we wind up creating at the next creation of a budget, and I'm not talking about the one we're doing now, but a normal 218 budget, we wind up creating a situation where, in essence, in the first year, we have increased the average bill by $32. So the only thing that concerns me is that, in view of the fact that we have created this substantial increase, whether it be voted on or not, that we get rejected again when we try and raise our reserves or fund our ongoing yearly operations. So I'm not sure what we can do about that, but, you know, looking forward, I don't think, you know, I don't think that you arbitrarily propose a, I'll make this number up, $25 increase to fund operating issues and reserves, and then add $32 to it, that you don't wind up getting the same kind of pushback that we got the last time. So that's more of a comment than anything else, but it does concern me.
Well, John, I want to respond to that quickly. And the discussion internally has been to remove the drainage and security discussion from the sample bill that we push out with the Prop 218 notice each year. And that's because they're not affected by Prop 218, by the rules for Prop 218. If it's a tax, it's a tax. And it increases based upon the escalator, and it's not subject to the Prop 218 process. And I think that's part of a message that needs to be made more clear to the residents as they review what opportunities they have to protest or agree with or comment on for the increases to water and sewer and solid waste costs. So my expectation is we'll take a run at producing a Prop 218 notice that just focuses on what the Prop 218 rules apply to. Is that kind of what you were talking about?
Yeah, and I understand that. I was just, you know, my concern continues to be, you know, well, my, you know, and we get our utilities lumped in with this security service that we provide, that, you know, that the initial comment, as it was in the last thing, is, well, my bill is going up $40. And it doesn't really seem to focus in on, well, it's going up $40 because of this or because of that. It's just my bill is going up $40 and now I'm going to protest. So you're right. However we handle this, I think there's got to be an awful lot of communication, because we've now gone two of the last 3 years without an increase of any kind. So to sit here and think that the next time we go through the 218 process that the increase is going to be substantial is probably unwise, because it will be substantial. It'll have to be substantial. Any other questions on item six? Anything, Amelia? Anything, Marty?
No. Okay.
Nothing over here.
Okay. We can move on to director and staff comments. Staff, anything?
I'm good.
I'm good, thank you.
Paula, anything? Did you have anything?
No, I don't have anything, thank you.
Marty?
Yeah, I had a question. I got a understanding that we're trying to do something with the sheriff's substation. Can you tell us what's going on with that?
You mean the security trailer?
Yeah, same thing.
We've been looking at having it get maintained over the past few months, and we took in two or three bids over the past 6 months, and one of the contractors has since decided not to worry about it. The trailer itself has water damage on the outside, some water damage on the inside from old windows. The roofing needs some repair. So that's what we've got going on there. We're trying to improve that because, you know, Kelly has his office over there and the sheriff's office uses it. And so does the highway patrol now and then. And it just needs to be brought to current, you know, hospitable standards.
So what are we spending on that?
That security reserve funds.
No, I said, what are we spending on? What are we
spending? It was around, and I'm not going to, I think it was around between $28,000 and $35,000 were the bids that we got.
Mm-hmm.
Am I accurate, Amelia? Isn't that what you last saw?
Yeah, that is correct. And I had three bids, one pulled out. The best bid, the best written bid that included everything we needed, he hasn't responded to me lately. So I will reach back out to him again today and see if I can at least get an updated bid from him, because it has to be prevailing wage.
Yeah, and that's the issue. Because it's district property, we have to, most of the contractors have to charge us prevailing wage, which is about, I don't know, 150 to 175% over normal what they would charge to be competitive.
So when's that coming to the board?
We're hoping. We are always hoping the next board meeting, but we can't seem to get the bidders together to where we're confident that we take something to the board that we can write a purchase order a few days later and they'll be, you know, they'll activate their project. So it's kind of a tough one because it's not a huge job and contracting right now is very difficult.
Tom, as dumb as it might seem, would it make any sense to get an idea of, even if it's a used or refurbished new trailer, would cost versus what's sitting there that they want 30 grand to fix? I mean, you know, I don't know what the range of those things would be, but it certainly wouldn't hurt to see if it's consistent with what these bids look like.
You know, I never thought about that, but yeah, we can see what that would mean. My guess would be way more expensive to buy new, but that's a good question we should answer.
You know, I only know the RV world, and it may not be consistent with that thing that's sitting out there. But I mean, there's a lot of bare bones trailer stuff that is in that even new or 2 or 3 years old, that's not too far out of the realm of that number.
Yeah, I've never thought about that. It'll be interesting what the answer is going to look like. We're just going to have to figure out how to ask the question or where to look. If you know of any, I guess we just go to building suppliers.
Well, do we need as much square footage as we have?
I think so. We have, you know, we have to have two types of dressing rooms and we have two bathrooms. Hmm. I don't you know, it's just a double wide trailer. It's a standard double wide trailer that, you know, is in need of repair. I mean, the siding, the roof, the gutters, the windows, the carpet, and, you know, all that goes to, okay, when you rip stuff up, are you going to find any mold or anything like that? So right now it looks pretty clean to be able to do that work.
Okay. Thank you.
I just have one more question for you, Tom or Paula. Can you guys explain to me what happened with the invoicing this month?
The statements?
Yeah. I picked mine was okay, but I get an email and I understand that there was a problem with the printed statements.
I understand what you're asking, John. Sorry. Yeah, I'll take this. So essentially what happens is we contract with ABS and they print our utility bills. So we have two separate functions that go on every month. We have the email bills, which is a separate process. And then we have the printed bills, which are the paper statements that those who have opted for the paper statements receive. ABS is the one that prints those paper statements. And so we upload that to their system. So we have two files that we upload. We upload an XML file, which has all of the coding in it. And all of that coding basically explains the formatting of where things are printed within. And with the programmers on their side, it took us quite a bit of time to figure this out. And sorry, let me go back. The other file is the pipeline because they print the pipeline with the utility bill. So the XML file essentially has all of that coding, and we worked with our programmers because we thought it was on our end. But essentially what ended up happening is when their computers were reading the XML file, it was dropping off that penalties box. So if you look at the actual statement, if you have any late fees that have carried over from the previous month because your bill was not paid on time, or you are late, however, for whatever reason, you'll see that penalty amount there in the breakdown of all of your usage, the security drainage fees or taxes, and then you'll see that penalty fee. When you go right below that, you see the current amount due. The current amount due is all of those usage and taxes minus the penalties or the late fees. And that late fee is supposed to be right next to that line item that says penalties. So if you have a penalty and a late fee up above, you should be seeing it below and it would calculate into the full total amount due. The total amount due is an accurate calculation. However, in the XML file on their end, it wasn't reading what that penalty was, so it wasn't carrying over. So it looks like the total amount due is incorrect, because if you have a penalty, you have that late fee, it's not showing down in that box below. So really, that's what the issue was. And we ultimately decided, because we needed to get the bills out, we just sent them out and they're working on fixing that. We're also working on some other things on our end to try and make this process a little bit cleaner, so that we, you know, if we run into this again, we won't have these lengthy delays. And I hope that explains what happened with this bill. Very simple fix, but it was ultimately on ABS's printer, and they're working to correct it on their end.
Could we maybe at the next finance committee meeting just briefly review if there would be any incentive that we could offer to encourage more people to take the e-bill? There has to be some economies in there, and even if we were it once we understood what they were, I would be more than happy personally to pass those along. If it got us out of the stamp mail game for a significant portion of our mail out printed invoices, there has to be some savings there, and I'd be willing to invest it to try and make some of that mail go away.
Sure, we can certainly look into that.
just take a look at it maybe at the next meeting. Anything else before we move to adjournment? Nothing, Amelia?
Everybody's quiet this morning. No hands raised.
Yeah, recovering from yesterday. All right, good. Well, thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next month.
Thanks.
Have a great day. Sure.